The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
WTC Minneapolis St. Paul, FM 107.5, K298CO Minneapolis, powered by Advantage Homebuyer.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. President Trump's supporters gathered near the White House yesterday to show their support for the president and his legal challenges to the election results.
A week after media outlets called the race for Joe Biden, thousands of Trump supporters converged on the nation's capital to protest the election results and voice their concerns a vote in some states may have been stolen. The president claims a contest in several states was marred by irregularities, even outright ballot fraud. The legal challenges are expected to drag on for several weeks. Meantime, Joe Biden continues work on assembling a cabinet to the White House in January. Bob Agnew, Washington.
China, Japan, and 13 other Asian-Pacific nations have agreed to found the world's largest trading bloc. The Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership will encompass nearly a third of the world's economic activity. This is SRN News.
This week in the Town Hall Review with Hugh Hewitt, brought to you in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. We'll look at the very critical runoff for two Senate seats in Georgia.
They're two very different elections.
Join us for our program. Sign up for our podcast at townhallreview.com.
Every Saturday evening at 7 and Sunday nights at 11. Here on AM 1280, The Patriot. Intelligent radio. AM 1280, The Patriot.
Have you been suffering from numbness, tingling, burning, or restless pain in your hands or feet? Does your doctor insist on giving you more medications, but your neuropathy is not improving? Stop masking the symptoms and get answers today by contacting Dr. Knight at Abundant Life Health Center in Chanhassen. If you do nothing, you run the risk of suffering long-term complications like infections, poor wound healing, balance issues restraining you to a walker, and possible amputations. In fact, 86,000 Americans lose a limb every year to untreated neuropathy. Get your life back today. Abundant Life Health Center has helped hundreds of patients reverse their neuropathy. If you're ready to regain your independence, contact Dr. Knight at Abundant Life Health Center in Chanhassen. As a Patriot listener, you receive a special $49 Get Acquainted offer. That's a $250 value for just $49. Neuropathy doesn't wait around. You shouldn't either. Call 952-300-8338 to schedule a full neuropathy workup with Dr. Knight.
Hi, everybody. This is Dennis Prager. I'm headed back to Israel in October 2021 for a 10-day Stand with Israel tour of the key sites and best places meant to give you an unprecedented view of a world you've likely only read or heard about. Come home inspired, renewed, and empowered by the experience. If you've ever dreamed of seeing Israel, this is your opportunity. Come with me in 2021 by calling 855-565-5519 or book online at standwithisraeltour.com.
I was strung out on heroin, and I laid out flat on the side road, and I waited for a car to run me over. Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge has saved my life, and I get to start over. I get a second chance.
You are not alone, and you can take the first step towards freedom from addiction by calling Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge at 612-FREEDOM, or you can text MNTC to 900-900 or go online to mntc.org/not alone.
Let's say you've decided to build a bicycle from scratch. Sounds like an impossible project for my skills, but let's say you've got the skills and I offer you an advantage, a special tool that would help you build the bike faster while saving you legitimate money. My guess is you'd say, bring it on. If you wouldn't, well, then this commercial isn't going to make much sense. My name is Ryan. I'm from United Faith Mortgage, and we believe we have an advantageous tool for you. Our mortgage team is lucky to have a direct lender advantage. Our company is set up to use its own money and make its own lending decisions within its own walls. And often, this advantage allows us to get your refinance or new home loan done faster and get you a better rate, which saves you monthly and lifelong money. Rates are historically low. Now is the time to see how our special tool might work for you. We or United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp. 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalistconsumeraccess.org. Corporate animalist number 1335. Rack animalist number 65233. Equal housing lender. I license in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
AM 1280, The Patriot, and iHeartRadio. They go together like the U.S. and Liberty. Listen at iHeart.com or with the free iHeartRadio mobile app. Limitless access to intelligent talk. Stream AM 1280 The Patriot with our free app, your smart speaker, or with iHeart, TuneIn, and Radio.com. We live in the Twin Cities, but serve worldwide.
The views expressed on the following program do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
It's time for the World of Aviation, sponsored by Academy College of Aviation in Bloomington and by Thunderbird Aviation, with locations at Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie and at the Crystal Airport. Here now is your host, Al Malmberg.
Thank you very much. This morning's guest grew up as a hangar rat at the Broadhead Airport in Wisconsin. He's now the manager of that very same airport. He comes from a family of pilots, airplane mechanics, restorers, and anything else that has to do with aviation. He says AVCAS runs through his veins. Pat Wheaton, welcome to the world of aviation.
Morning, Al. Thanks for having me on.
So I want to first of all talk about the Broadhead Museum itself. I know that you not only are the manager, but you make sure that critters are not digging holes around the airport.
Yeah.
How tough is that running around with a shovel all day long?
This year has been quite a challenge. Wisconsin Badger has earned its name this year. It was that little bugger. We've tried to trap him. We've hired a professional trapper, and we just can't catch him. But dozens and dozens of very large holes he likes to dig in the middle of the runway. So it's one of those first thing in the morning things: get out there and get everything patched up before people start flying for the day.
So are you playing the part of Rodney Dangerfield or or Murray, the groundskeeper?
That movie. I've heard so many references to that movie this summer.
Yeah. Now, yeah, are you licensed to use are you licensed to use dynamite?
I didn't know you needed a license. I'll check into that.
Let me ask you, those critters ever cause havoc with the runways? I presume you have asphalt runways there?
Actually, no, we're all grass runways.
So that's a real problem.
It is a real problem. And the badgers, and I'm not a trapper, but this is what I'm told. The badgers are looking for the gophers. So it's the Wisconsin coming after the Minnesota people. I'm told it's actually a ground squirrel problem. So what the badgers will do is they'll excavate an existing ground squirrel hole and den. But they'll dig a hole, 10 inches around and excavate about 2 yards of dirt in about 3 minutes. And if you're not there to watch them or trap them, they can make a big mess in a short amount of time. And it's nothing
I would want
to hit with an airplane, coming in for a landing. Obviously, that would that could make trouble.
Oh, yeah. Pat, I fly off a private ship, and out here, you got to be very aware of wildlife. Many times I see the antelope running across the runway and coyotes. And so you got to be very, very aware of that. So you're using your peripheral vision when you're taking off or coming in for a landing to be aware of any movement that's outside, off the runway, that could be moving towards the runway.
And
the one thing I haven't thought about is critters that are digging holes on the runway. I haven't seen it, but I never thought about it. That'd be a real concern.
Yeah, and it's fairly new for us this year. It seems to be a recurring problem maybe every 10 years or so. I don't know if the badgers are transient or what have you. We have the usual problems with deer and coyotes and occasionally a fox because there's some wooded areas near our runway where they like to live. So we tell everyone to watch out for those things, like you say. But, yeah, just digging massive holes, and it's not so much the hole, it's the pile of dirt they leave. Sometimes the pile of dirt will be two feet high, and if you're if you're expecting the runway to be clear and you're not exactly looking for it, it can surprise you.
Now, do you have more than one grass strip there, runway?
We've got three grass runways. The longest is, well, the state lists it as 2,400 feet. Usable is about 3,300 feet with roads on both ends. And the shorter ones are about, 1,800 and 1,500 feet. So it's more geared toward, smaller light aircraft, vintage airplanes, things like that.
Yeah. Do the pilots that use that runway, do they refer it as the aircraft carrier runway?
I haven't heard that one yet, no. We should paint the lines on the flight deck, on the runway, the three, everybody can catch the three wire when they're on their way in.
Yeah, yeah. Have the catch cables running across. That would be perfect. I got to tell you something. Now that I've become accustomed to flying off a grass strip, and I'm sure that your grass runway is a lot smoother. If I remember right, Minnesota, flying off grass strips, they were very smooth and nice grassy runways. Out here in Colorado, where I fly, it's very rocky and bumpy, and you have tufts of grass mounds, and so mm-hmm. when you take off, it's very rough and bumpy. Are your runways very smooth?
Well, we make a point to roll them every year. And, generally speaking, they're pretty smooth. The area we're in is an ancient lake bed, and so the ground is actually all sand. There's some topsoil on it, but it's generally about 60 feet of sand. And with the hard freeze over the winter, sometimes in the spring when the frost comes out of the ground, we'll get some heaves in certain places. So we always try to roll it when it's nice and soft in the spring. Every 15, 20 years, and we're coming up on one of those cycles now where there's getting to be some rough spots that the rollers just don't take care of. So we'll get out there with some industrial equipment of some sort and smooth it out. But since we tend to host the smaller, light general aviation aircraft and the tail draggers especially, and it's used, the airports use a lot for training. So we try to keep it as smooth as possible, just, keep maintenance down and keep the ride smooth for everyone.
I'll tell you, I think flying in and out of a grass strip makes you a better pilot. You get that picture as you're coming in for your landing, because where I'm flying out of, again, it's private and there's no lighting system. I mean, there's not even runway lights, so you can't fly in at night unless you call somebody in advance to pull the truck out to light up the runway with the headlights. But I found myself, Pat, and I've got a feeling, maybe you're the same way, but I found myself when I fly into, regular airports, we could call it, with the lighting systems, the VASIs, I don't even look at them anymore. Do you find yourself doing the same thing?
I'm the same way, I guess. I learned to fly at Broadhead Airport as a teenager, and I just thought every airport was 2,000 feet long with no markings of any sort. So when I got my private, and I actually took my flight test at a real airport, as you say. But I look at the VASIs and the approach lighting as almost kind of a novelty, and that's kind of cute. Wonder what that does. I can't believe all this runway in front of me. What do people do with this? It's kind of a smart aleck to say that, but. But I do remember that.
But it's true.
Once in my flight training used a VASI or any kind of landing aid other than just this is how you do it.
It's fascinating. Now, we've got to talk about you grew up as a hangar rat, and I love that term. How old were you when you started hanging out at the Broadhead Airport?
Well, there's a bit of a story. The Broadhead Airport goes back to 1946. In fact, this coming February is our 75th anniversary of the airport being registered with the state, I guess. The family who owned it, though, there was a death in the family in 1972, I believe. So the airport came up for sale, and it was a pretty low-key affair at the time. There was only two or three hangars and a handful of guys that flew out of there. In the city of Broadhead, and Broadhead's just a small town at that time, it was probably only about 1,500 people. But they were starting up an EAA chapter. Chapter 431 got its charter in 1973. And the members of the EAA chapter actually pooled their money and bought the airport. So our EAA chapter owned the airport, which, of course, these days you can't do anymore. we were forced to sell it off, you know, basically create a shell company to handle the ownership. But so my dad was the first EA Chapter 431 president, and we had the meetings in our living room. And then my dad did a stint in the Air Force in the 50s and went to A&P school, got his ticket there. And so he wanted to start a maintenance shop at Broadhead. So he did that. We built the first hangar in 1974. And there's a picture of me. I probably be 6 years old, I guess. There's a picture of me troweling the cement in the hangar. So I guess I started pretty young. I don't know.
That's incredible.
The cement is still there, so I must have done a decent job.
Pat, hold on. We're going to take a break. Pat Whedon is our guest. He is the manager at the Broadhead Airport in Wisconsin. And we're going to talk about the EAA Chapter 431 and also other activities that go on there at the Broadhead Airport. You're listening to The World of Aviation, sponsored by Academy College of Aviation, located in Bloomington at the crossroads of 494 and 35W, and by Thunderbird Aviation with locations at Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie and at the Crystal Airport. This is The World of Aviation.
I'll see you two tomorrow morning on the golf course.
AM 1280, The Patriot.
Al Momberg here for Thunderbird Aviation. Have you thought about learning how to fly but not sure where to begin? Thunderbird Aviation's Jumpstart Package has everything you need to begin your piloting experience. With 5 hours of flight training, ground instruction, and pilot classroom training, the Jumpstart Package will have you on your way to piloting in no time. With locations at Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie and at the Crystal Airport, Thunderbird Aviation's Jumpstart Package provides you with essentials and experience to start working toward your pilot's license. Or if you're not ready for the Jumpstart Package, Thunderbird offers discovery flights at both locations that put you at the stick of the plane and cruising through the clouds with an instructor. Thunderbird Aviation will show you the joy of flying that few have the opportunity to experience. Believe me, after your discovery flight, you will want to sign up for the Jumpstart program. So start flying today by emailing fly@thunderbirdaviation.com. That's fly@thunderbirdaviation.com.
Hey, you know, Christmas is coming.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait. I already have my toques hung by the chimney with care, eh?
Well, I got the best Christmas present for my family this year. I'm going to be the hero.
Oh, you always outdo me, and I end up with eggnog on my face. So what are you doing so I can keep up with you, eh?
I got one of the brand new Arctic Spas from Premier Pool and Spa. They're delivering it next week. This one is all the bells and whistles, the latest technology, so we don't have to do a thing, eh? But relax and enjoy the hot water.
Hey, they got a sale going on or anything?
They're doing all kinds of deals with the ones on the floor, and they also have a free Christmas light upgrade. Whatever's best for you.
Oh, and they can deliver before Christmas?
They are still taking orders to build them and deliver them before Christmas. So visit Premier Pool in Chanhassen today.
Arctic spas are engineered for the world's harshest climates. You deserve it.
PremierPools.com. Premier Pool and Spa, where we take fun seriously, eh?
PremierPools.com.
Al Momberg here for Academy College, located in Bloomington and serving the Twin Cities since 1936, is focused on education being a pathway to career opportunities by providing flexible scheduling with online options for students who need to work while attending. With degrees and programs in business, accounting, IT, aviation business, professional pilot, and aircraft dispatch, Academy College's coursework is focused on practical skills and led by instructors who have direct experience and expertise. Their online approach to online learning provides students with an educational experience that will translate directly into their careers. Academy College makes students' accessibility a priority. With a low student-to-instructor ratio, students have the opportunity to interact with their instructors one-on-one. Let Academy College be the partner you've been looking for to start your new education and career. For more information, visit their website at academycollege.edu. Classes begin November 2nd. You're listening to The World of Aviation. Pat Whedon is our guest. He's the manager at the Broadhead Airport in Wisconsin and started hanging around at that airport when he was just a kid. He was a hangar rat. And Pat, when your dad opened up his shop, did you help him with some of the task involved with rebuilding engines or whatever he was working on?
Yeah, in fact, I got pretty good at removing inspection covers and things like that on customers' aircraft. Always, of course, under the watchful eye of Dad and the owners. But yeah, I got to learn how airplanes were put together pretty early on, and that was a neat thing to learn.
Did you also pick up your AMP certificate?
No, I never did. I got an older brother who did, and so there's a couple in the family. But I, for some reason, I didn't inherit the full mechanical gene of the family siblings have. And yeah, I'm okay. I can do basic stuff, but I'm not going to tackle an engine overhaul or anything like that.
Yeah. Now you've got family members that pilots, mechanics. They do restoration work. How many siblings do you have that are in aviation?
Oh, gosh, I'm the youngest of six, and they've all had their fingers in it in some form.
Wow.
But yeah, my brother Mike is, of course, he flew in the Air Force and got his AMP and AI, so he's still a civilian CFI and does maintenance work around Broadhead, actually all around southern Wisconsin. And then another brother, Bill, is a kind of a paint specialist, and Jim is a fabric specialist for all the old fabric-covered aircraft. He's always got something going on in our shop. We've got a set of wings from a biplane in there now. Sometimes it's typical older sibling envy, but I walk in there and look at their craftsmanship and think, wow, why didn't I get any of this? They're very, very, very good at what they do.
Probably because you're planting dynamite trying to get the badgers and the gophers.
Yeah, and I am fairly effective at that, so that's my gift.
Now, there at the Broadhead Airport is the Kelch Aviation Museum. How long has that been around?
Well, if we go back to the beginning, Al and Lois Kelch started a vintage aircraft collection, I guess, back in the 60s. Al Kelch was kind of a self-made man, came from a small farming town in Iowa. Made a name for himself in the business world. He started a Kelch manufacturing in the Milwaukee area, which grew to a pretty sizable company by the 1980s. They were they're pioneers in injection molded plastics and things of that nature. He used to say that he didn't invent the orange traffic cone, but he perfected the process for making them. So if you look at every time you see an orange traffic cone along the interstate, you can think of Al Kelch. But anyways. Yeah, so he got into vintage aviation pretty young. He had an uncle who was a barnstorming pilot from World War One, actually. So he started flying like in the early 20s as a little kid. But so he collected old airplanes. You think he bought his first airplane was a Piper Cub project in the 60s. Started collecting and building and restoring things in by the early 70s, and I forget the exact dates here, but he was instrumental in starting what was then the Antique Classic Division of EAA. And my understanding is that he published the Vintage Magazine, the publication of the Antique Classic Division. He published that out of his own pocket for a number of years until the organization got on its feet. So he's very instrumental in the vintage aircraft, the restoration movement. Of course, there are many others, but as far as formalizing with EAA. And so over the years, he built up his own collection. He had a private strip in the Milwaukee area at Mequon, Wisconsin. And in the 1990s, he slowly moved his collection to the Broadhead Airport. Because Broadhead was becoming a home for, like I was saying before, for vintage aircraft. And we have several events every year that focused on antique airplanes. So Al Kelch passed away in 2004 and his wife Lois in 2009. And before they passed away, they had set up a trust. And so he had four hangars at the Broadhead Airport, full, just chock full of all these. I think he had 15 or 16 aircraft by then.
Wow.
All from the 20s and 30s, all of them flyable. A lot of them were pretty rare ducks, airplanes that I had never heard of before. But they left this trust, the Kelch Charitable Trust, to, in his words, to keep the museum open. It was just his hangars that he called it a museum.
Wow.
The trouble is, we didn't advertise it. The hangars were only open during our couple times a year when we were have a fly-in at the airport. So nobody knew about it. So fast forward a little bit to 2012, the trustees there were hand-picked trustees by Alan Lewis Couch, decided, and this is in the words I've heard explained, they said, let's either do this right and build a real museum, or we'll sell everything and give the money away and go home. And fortunately, they decided to go all in and make a real museum. So they incorporated the Couch Aviation Museum as a 501c3 nonprofit organization. And they hired me in 2014, so that's about 6 years ago now, to kind of coordinate everything and make it happen. So my first day on the job is there's four hangars full of stuff and a whole bunch of airplanes and priceless racks and racks of parts and things. And by the way, we don't know what we have. Figure it out.
Wow. Wow.
And they really gave me free rein. I joke about it, but they really did give me free rein to do whatever I, the best path forward to make a public museum. So over a couple of years, there was a 2-acre parcel immediately adjacent to the airport that came up for sale. So we bought that, and we kicked off a $1.4 million capital campaign to build a facility. Not just an airplane museum, but an educational facility and something that kind of an asset to the local community. So it'll have rentable event space. And I tell people we want it to be a place that people just enjoy being at. You know, whether you're into old airplanes or not, we want people to be comfortable there and just introduce them to aviation in general. So we've got a nice spot on the airport right next to the runways. You can sit and watch takeoffs and landings and all day. And,
wow.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody wanted to fly in and see the museum, are there hours that we should be aware of? How many days of the week are you open? Is the museum open, and so on?
Yeah. Well, according to my grand master plan from 3 years ago, we're supposed to be open now. But I don't know if you heard on the news, there's this little thing going around called COVID-19.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we're fundraising, obviously, to build this place. And we got phase one done, which is the airplane hangar. It's a 12,000 square foot airplane hangar that was finished in February of this year. And it's a beautiful hangar. It's an awesome, awesome space. I love being in it every day. But the second component, phase two, is where the offices and the kind of the more display type, you know, the glass display cases in the library and in the climate controlled archive space and all the extras that go into a museum. That place hasn't been built yet. So technically, we're not open yet. We had planned to be open by August of this year, but fundraising really slowed down with the virus. As it sits right now, we are going to break ground middle of this week. It'd be November 18th is the current plan to break ground on the Phase 2 building. And that'll get built over the winter. And if the virus doesn't wreak havoc and starts to cooperate a little bit, we're hoping for a springtime grand opening. So right now we're actually not open to the public, but we're on the space. The hangar is open most days. I work in there, but we're hoping to have the big grand opening in the spring and be able to show everything off the way we want to show it off by then.
We're going to have you back on the show for that week when you do the grand opening, so we have to keep in touch with each other because this is exciting. I mean, if people want to fly in there and are wearing masks, can they fly into the airport at all?
Well, it's a public use airport. People can fly in. We are under COVID lockdown right now, and the local area is a real hot spot right now, so we're playing it careful. And I say that just for today. You know, things change all the time, but right now we are actually closed. But we hope that'll change, you know, here in the next couple of months. And because we love having people, and that's the whole point of having the place is to let people in and encourage people to come in. So this, I know everyone has a virus story, and most people's is a lot worse than mine. But the virus has really kicked our butt as far as being able to do what we are designed to do. So hopefully that'll change here soon.
Is Broadhead a part of a metropolitan area?
Well, we're about 45 minutes from Madison, the state capital, probably an hour and 15 from greater Milwaukee, and an hour and a half from the northwest suburbs of Chicago. The city itself is, you know, it's a farming community. We're in Greene County. It's farm country. But the airport itself has quite a history with these vintage aircraft fly-ins going back to the I think our first one was in 1975 or 76. So the airport itself has gotten quite a reputation. The city is now about 3,500 people, a couple of big factories in town, and it's a kind of an industrial farming community. But the biggest population centers, Janesville, Wisconsin, and Beloit, Wisconsin, right on the state line, they're a half hour away. We're about 30 minutes from three different interstates. So it's easy to get here, but the neighborhood is pretty quiet.
Do you have like a do you have a localizer so we can find the airport? or just look for the water tower that says Broadhead.
Yeah, look for the two water towers, and then the farmer in the next field over sometimes lights his corn crib at night. That's your localizer.
I love it. I love it. Pat, we're going to take a break, and we'll come back and talk more with Pat Whedon, who's the manager of the Broadhead Airport and also is involved with the Kelch Aviation Museum there at Broadhead. And you are listening to The World of Aviation, sponsored by Thunderbird Aviation, with locations at Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie and the Crystal Airport, and by Academy College of Aviation, located in Bloomington, at the crossroads of 35W and 494. You are listening to The World of Aviation.
AM 1280, The Patriot.
Al Momberg here for Thunderbird Aviation. Have you thought about learning how to fly but not sure where to begin? Thunderbird Aviation's Jumpstart Package has everything you need to begin your piloting experience. With 5 hours of flight training, ground instruction, and pilot classroom training, the Jumpstart Package will have you on your way to piloting in no time. With locations at Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie and at the Crystal Airport, Thunderbird Aviation's Jumpstart Package provides you with essentials and experience to start working toward your pilot's license. Or if you're not ready for the Jumpstart Package, Thunderbird offers discovery flights at both locations that put you at the stick of the plane and cruising through the clouds with an instructor. Thunderbird Aviation will show you the joy of flying that few have the opportunity to experience. Believe me, after your discovery flight, you will want to sign up for the Jumpstart program. So start flying today by emailing fly at thunderbirdaviation.com. That's fly at thunderbirdaviation.com.
Whoa, look at all these options.
You can fill an entire warehouse with all the different ways you can stream The Patriot. Top shelf choices include AM1280ThePatriot.com, our free app, and Radio.com.
I appeal to you to fight. I fully recognize not everyone has a fighting nature, but everyone can help fighters. What's wrong is not to do either. If the troops have no supplies, the troops are worthless. This station is a fighter. So there's a very simple way for you to help the station, and that is just patronize their sponsors.
Help us continue to keep the Twin Cities right by supporting the local businesses you hear on this station.
Salem Surround partners with your business to deliver custom digital marketing solutions. Surround your target audience wherever they engage, search, surf, socialize, or review to keep your business top of mind. Learn more at minneapolis.salemsurround.com.
Al Momberg here for Academy College, located in Bloomington and serving the Twin Cities since 1936, is focused on education being a pathway to career opportunities by providing flexible scheduling with online options for students who need to work while attending. With degrees and programs in business, accounting, IT, aviation business, professional pilot, and aircraft dispatch, Academy College's coursework is focused on practical skills and led by instructors who have direct experience and expertise. Their online approach to online learning provides students with an educational experience that will translate directly into their careers. Academy College makes students' accessibility a priority. With a low student-to-instructor ratio, students have the opportunity to interact with their instructors one-on-one. Let Academy College be the partner you've been looking for to start your new education and career. For more information, visit their website at academycollege.edu. Classes begin November 2nd. You're listening to The World of Aviation. We're speaking with Pat Whedon, who's the manager at the Broadhead Airport. And in a second, Pat, I want to get into the types of aircraft you have there at the Kelch Museum. But we have Dave on the line that has something I'm sure very important to ask or say. Dave.
Well, hey, Al, you just stole my question. I was going to ask what aircraft he had on display, but if Pat is looking for a good taxidermist, there is a great one in Broadhead that took care of a coyote of mine.
Was his name Wiley?
I'll pick the badger there when we catch him.
Sounds good. But, yeah, really, what kind of airplanes do you have, Pat?
Well, we're trying to stay pretty focused on, these are some general terms, but our definition of the golden age of aviation is the period between the wars, so 1920 to 1940. We're not doing any warbirds, from World War II or World War I. That's before and after our focus. And the reason for that, our focus is 1920, 1940 is kind of the period when regular people, not government military-driven programs, were responsible for a lot of the engineering advancements in aviation. The Curtis-Wright Company and a lot of the little guys like Franklin and Stearman, believe it or not, was a little company once. They were doing a lot of the advancements in general aviation. So we have a lot of representatives from that period. Our oldest airplane is a 1927 Travel Air, model 4000. Mm-hmm. It's got a Wright J5 on it, same engine that Lindbergh used across the Atlantic. We've got a pair of 29 Stearmans, and these are we call them the real Stearman. This is before Boeing bought out Lloyd Stearman, so these are the square-tailed C3 model Stearmans. And a couple of odd ducks, maybe I certainly had never heard of before, but that doesn't mean anything. There's a 1932 Franklin Sport, one of only 32 that were made. It's an aerobatic trainer. It's a little biplane aerobatic trainer with a 90-horse Lambert engine on the front.
Wow.
We have the only Butler Blackhawk in airworthy condition. And you say, what the heck is a Butler Blackhawk? Butler Buildings or Butler Manufacturing is still in business today in Kansas City. They've been around for 100 years. And they got into the airplane business in 1929, right before the Depression hit. And they built exactly 11 airplanes before they discovered that was a bad idea. So there's two left in the world. One hangs, I hope someone can correct me here, but it hangs in a museum in Kansas City, but it's not airworthy. So we have the only other Butler Blackhawk. And it looks a lot like a Stearman. It's a big training biplane, 220 horse, Wright J5 up front. This thing had quite a service during World War II as a civilian flight trainer for the Army Air Corps. And then we've got some Curtis Wright rare ducks. Curtis Wright bought out the Travel Air Company in, somebody will correct me here, I want to say 1929 or 1930, but we have a 1931 Curtis Wright Travel Air, model 12Q, with an inline four-cylinder Cirrus engine. And then the next year, they put out the Model 12W, which has a 125 Warner engine on the front. And it's just a fun little sport biplane, two-seat, two-holer. The 12W, I know they built only 12 of them. And our first year, we were really on our feet. We flew that thing to Oshkosh, to the big air show there. And I stood by the thing all week telling everyone that it was the only 12W in existence. Well, I met three different people that week who flew 12Ws.
Wow.
There's at least four of them out there of the original 12. But, yeah, those are the kind of things. We have a lot of what I call the big biplanes, Stearman's Travelers. On loan this week, we brought in two more Travelers, both 1929 Travelers. One has a Curtis Wright OXX6 engine. A big V8 engine that puts out 100 horsepower. And then another one is powered by a Wright J67, a little bit more modern engine. But just two beautiful, beautiful airplanes that we're able to secure on long-term loan.
Now, I've got to ask, the other voice that you heard is that of Dave Wyman, the publisher of the Midwest Flyer, who is a very, very good friend of mine.
I've got to ask you,
about the fly into Canada and going to Minamiska Lodge. And I'm just bringing this up because I want you to hear me say Minamiska.
And for a radio personality, you can't get that word right.
Well,
Minamiska.
And but I wanted to slide right into, and I want you to, this radio professional business, I want to slide directly into trying to pronounce Pyatenpil. Is that how you pronounce the association there at the Broadhead Airport?
I don't know.
I think they've died. Died laughing.
I think. Boy, I'm sorry, Al, but you butchered that worse than anyone I've ever heard of before. it's pronounced Pyatenpil. Pyatenpil. It's a Dutch name.
Dave's going. Oh, that's what that was.
Yeah. I'm like, what the heck is he talking about? Okay. Anyways, the Broadhead Pyatenpil Association. Dave won't stop laughing.
No, that's me. That's me laughing.
Okay.
It's our show, Pat.
A little local history. Bernard Pyatenpil invented a little two-seat high-wing parasol home-built airplane in 1928. And he was based out of Cherry Grove, Minnesota, right down in the southeast corner of the state. And he sold the plans for that airplane in the magazines at the time, Popular Mechanics and a few others, I believe. But Bernard Pyatenpil, that design really took off. So he's considered the grandfather of home-built aircraft. And the Pyatenpil has proved to be a very popular design. It was designed specifically so that the common person could build one. It's made with readily available materials. You could go down to the lumberyard and order your spruce. It's powered by a Model A Ford engine, which in 1928 and 29, those things were everywhere. You could get an engine cheap, use motorcycle tires and things like that. And the design really took off. There's been thousands of them built over the years, and it's still a very popular design. So in 1976, the airport hosted its first Pyatenpil fly-in, and that turned into the Broadhead Pyatenpil Association, which is now based. It's kind of changed hands a few times over the years. It was based out of Ohio for a while, but it's back in Wisconsin. And we put out a quarterly newsletter for all the Pyatenpil builders and fans and anyone who wants to learn about it. It's a pretty good, pretty active organization. And every year we still, every July, it's always the weekend before Oshkosh, we put on the International Pyatenpil Fly-In. And
Any idea, Pat, any idea how many Pyatenpils are out there?
Oh, gosh, I haven't the faintest idea. Our best year at Broadhead is we've had 30 of them fly in, and this is from all corners of the country. So if you can imagine flying a little Model A-powered sliver across the country, and people put modern engines in them these days, but there's got to be hundreds of them flying right now. And the membership in our organization is worldwide. We have a pretty strong following in Australia and Great Britain, and there's a number of them scattered throughout Europe. We've got members in Indonesia and some of the old Russian states that I can't pronounce. I pronounce them like you say, Pyatenpil. it's an amazingly strong organization for such an old design, and so we're pretty proud to have that. We couldn't have the fly-in this year because of the stinky virus, but we're gearing up hopefully next year.
Now I've got to ask you a question, Pat, and Dave, are you still with us?
Yeah, I am.
Or did you fall off your chair and hit your head on
I'm
the
here.
Desk laughing?
Now,
Pat's dad was with you. You were flying. I don't recall what kind of plane it was. I probably couldn't pronounce it anyway. But you were you're flying with Pat's dad, and your engine went out. How long ago was that, and where were you?
That was about 1981, and it was a 1946 Cessna 140. And I was between Broadhead and Madison at my home base airport at the time, which was Brooklyn Airport. And we were flying over a couple thousand feet. Then the engine quit, and I dead sticked it in. But I had my mechanic with me. I mean,
Well, did he work on the engine before that happened?
Well, yeah, he did. I just got it out of annual. And
oh gosh,
it turned out I had I just bought this antique airplane, and I saw holes in the gas cap. And I thought, cripes, there's holes. If it rains, I'm going to get water in this, in the tanks. So I put Cessna 150 gas caps on, and they were not ventilated. And so pressure built up in the gas tank and shut the engine off.
Don't do that. Now, what did Mr. Whedon say about that when you told him what you had done?
Well, you know, Dick was cool. He wasn't worried about, and I think maybe he probably discovered it. He's like, you got a Cessna 150 caps on here. So I got him. Yeah, home.
But you made it back to your home airport, right?
Yeah, I was right there. I don't know what we did. I must have flown him back to Broadhead, but how I probably have the gas caps, the original ones around there, and so I put them on and off we went. But amazing. It was fun.
Dave, thank you. Great to hear from you. I do have a question for you. Are there? I saw on the last Midwest Flyer that there were openings for the fly-in up to Canada.
What we're doing now, our group flight up there is booked because everybody that was planning on going this year in 2020, they're all rebooked now for 2021, and we're overbooked anyhow. So our group flight is booked, but Mimonesca is accepting individual reservations from individual aircraft owners. So if somebody has a group of two or four, they'll get you in.
Okay.
Someplace.
Very good.
Yep.
Dave, appreciate the call in.
Take care. Good luck, Pat.
Thanks.
Happened this summer.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
I'm hoping that the event is going to happen this summer. You know, we're still up in the air, aren't we? For a lot of all of the everything that's going on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm awful reluctant to predict anything at this point. Everything changes so often. Yeah. So we'll play it by ear, and you know, we'll keep planning for as if we're going to have it, and make do if we can.
Pat, we're going to take a break. Pat Whedon is our guest, and he's the manager at the Broadhead Airport. And if you'd like to jump in, our phone number is 651-289-4488. And you are listening to The World of Aviation, sponsored by Academy College of Aviation, located in Bloomington at 35W and 494, and by Thunderbird Aviation with locations at Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie and at the Crystal Airport. This is The World of Aviation.
AM 1280, The Patriot.
Al Momberg here for Thunderbird Aviation. Have you thought about learning how to fly but not sure where to begin? Thunderbird Aviation's Jumpstart Package has everything you need to begin your piloting experience. With 5 hours of flight training, ground instruction, and pilot classroom training, the Jumpstart Package will have you on your way to piloting in no time. With locations at Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie and at the Crystal Airport, Thunderbird Aviation's Jumpstart Package provides you with essentials and experience to start working toward your pilot's license. Or if you're not ready for the Jumpstart Package, Thunderbird offers discovery flights at both locations that put you at the stick of the plane and cruising through the clouds with an instructor. Thunderbird Aviation will show you the joy of flying that few have the opportunity to experience. Believe me, after your discovery flight, you will want to sign up for the Jumpstart program. So start flying today by emailing fly@thunderbirdaviation.com. That's fly@thunderbirdaviation.com.
This is a potter's field. When people can't pay for their funerals, they are buried here. It is a lonely, desolate place, littered with unmarked headstones. No one visits. No one leaves flowers. But it doesn't have to be that way. For as low as $1 a day, you can ensure your family will have the money to pay your funeral expenses. We offer burial insurance plans that pay up to $30,000. Considering the average funeral costs more than $10,000, that's peace of mind for your family. There are no medical exams, your rates won't increase, and your policy cannot be canceled as long as you make your premium payments. Call now to get approved in minutes and ensure your final resting place is more than just a pauper's grave in a potter's field.
800-323-8137. 800-323-8137. 800-323-8137. That's 800-323-8137. Paid for by Final Expense Direct.
Al Momberg here for Academy College, located in Bloomington and serving the Twin Cities since 1936, is focused on education being a pathway to career opportunities by providing flexible scheduling with online options for students who need to work while attending. With degrees and programs in business, accounting, IT, aviation business, professional pilot, and aircraft dispatch, Academy College's coursework is focused on practical skills and led by instructors who have direct experience and expertise. Their online approach to online learning provides students with an educational experience that will translate directly into their careers. Academy College makes students' accessibility a priority. With a low student-to-instructor ratio, students have the opportunity to interact with their instructors one-on-one. Let Academy College be the partner you've been looking for to start your new education and career. For more information, visit their website at academycollege.edu. Classes begin November 2nd.
You're listening to The World of Aviation. Pat Wheaton is our guest. He is with the Kelch Aviation Museum there at the Broadhead Airport, where he is the manager of that, and he's also involved with the Pete and Paul Association. Pat, I've got to ask you, Mr. Kelch, who collected all these airplanes, and I presume that all the aircraft that you have right now are aircraft that he collected over the years, and how long a time period did it take him to put together this collection of these incredible aircraft that you have there at the Kelch Museum?
Well, it was kind of a revolving, you know, the aircraft that we have now, it's not the sum total of everything he had. He bought and sold aircraft, but he started doing it in the late 60s as his business grew and he was able to, financially do it. And he had aircraft under restoration right up till the day he died in 2004. So, In fact, our Traveler 4000 still needs to be completed and made airworthy. So, it was a period of 35, 40 years there, and I think he worked on something just about every day.
Wow. I am just so excited to have you open up the Kelch Aviation Museum because, it's like a butler. I've never seen a butler. I'm not familiar with them and would love to see the aircraft that you have. And you had mentioned that all the aircraft that you have are flyable. Does that include the butler that you have?
Well, in aviation, we use the term airworthy, which is a very defined term. A lot of them are out of annual inspection, but they could be made legally airworthy without a whole lot of work. We flew three of our aircraft this year. Of the ones we have on loan, I believe there's three more that flew regularly. So insurance is one of our biggest, it is our single biggest expense.
Yeah.
So, and aviation insurance, especially for vintage and museums, took a real hit this year.
Yeah.
After the Collins incident last year, Collins Foundation. It depends who your audience is. If it's the general public, I'll say, yeah, they're all airworthy. But if there's pilots in the room who know what that term means, I'll say that they can all be made airworthy without a whole lot of work.
Right. Right. I'm just amazed at the type and number of aircraft that you have on hand there at the Kelch Aviation Museum.
If I may, you had asked earlier, about whether or not we're open, and it's such a tough question right now. But one of the things we decided to do during all this virus related closure is to make virtual aircraft tours. So if you go on our website or on our Facebook page. Actually, our Facebook page is quite active. Every couple of weeks, we release a custom video on one of our aircraft. So we've already covered the Blackhawk and one of our Stearmans and our Pete and Paul. We have an original Pete and Paul.
Wow.
And this week, we're going to start filming for our Traveler 12W. And those have been quite popular videos. You can say what you want about social media. Our last video we released had over 30,000 views. And,
wow.
And so we're able to keep engagement with the public going with these things. And I'd encourage people to check those out, either KelchMuseum.org or, like I say, our search for us on Facebook. And we're quite active on there.
Now, I want to talk about the EAA Chapter 431. How many members do you have at 431?
Let's see. We peaked a couple of years ago at about 130, which I'm told is a pretty active chapter.
I would say so.
From that now. Yeah, we're down some from that now. But in our EAA chapter, like I said, it started in 73, and different chapters do different activities. You know, some build aircraft, some flying clubs, what have you. Ours has always been very active about hosting fly-in events. So we put on four different fly-ins a year. The next one, again, COVID notwithstanding, our next one would be our ski fly-in, which is always the Saturday closest to Groundhog Day. So first part of February. That one will get all ski planes in, and that one's pretty low-key. We might get a couple dozen aircraft flying in, depending on the weather. Our big one that we put on is a community pancake breakfast in May, and that's it's the Sunday between Mother's Day and Memorial Day, whatever that works out to be next year. Mm-hmm. And then our two big ones are the Pete and Pole one that I touched on earlier. That's a 3-day fly-in. It goes Friday, Saturday, Sunday before Oshkosh every year. And it's not unusual to have 150 aircraft there for that, and upwards of 1,000 people in and out camping on the airport. We put on 3 days worth of meal service, and it's all done by the chapter volunteers. It's really an incredible amount of work. I mean, most people in an EA chapter have been part of a pancake breakfast or some sort of public function, and you know how much work goes into it. And we do that over 3 days. And it's just a testament to our volunteers and their commitment and how much fun they have. And we're able to rotate it, help in and out over certain days so that our own membership gets to enjoy the fly-in as well. Like any organization, you can have volunteer burnout, and we try really hard to avoid that. Sure. And then our big crown jewel every year is the Midwest Antique Airplane Club hosts their annual fly. Our EAA chapter hosts their annual fly-in each September, and that's the weekend after Labor Day. And that one in last year in 2019, I'm pretty sure we had over 300 aircraft on the field.
Wow.
And
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I say there's a pretty good mix of old and new, but predominantly vintage aircraft. And it's just amazing to just walk the flight line and see that, outside of something like Oshkosh or Blakesburg.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this, Pat. You're talking that many aircraft at a non-controlled airport. What's the procedure that you use for planes that are coming in?
Well, and you remember, too, with vintage aircraft, a lot of them don't have electrical systems or radios.
Right. Right.
So in the case of the two big antique fly-ins, there are three runways. We close two of them. We almost need to for parking purposes. So we stick it to one runway. Runway 27 is almost always the active unless there's an east wind. And then we publish to the membership of these organizations. It's a pretty detailed 3-page kind of a procedure map. This is the traffic pattern. Here's the altitudes. Here's the flyby pattern. There's a whole bunch of things that we do not do. We do not allow aerobatics. We do not allow horsing around of any kind. We don't allow, making up your own traffic pattern. Follow the rules and be predictable is our mantra. Be predictable. And if everyone plays by the same rules, it works just fantastic.
And by the way, I've been on your website, KelchAviationMuseum.org, and it's fantastic. And I highly recommend everybody check that out. I hope this virus goes away as quickly as it hit us, so you can get this this incredible museum open, the Kelch Aviation Museum at the Broadhead Airport. Pat, we are out of time, and I thank you so much for joining us this morning. And again, the website, KelchAviationMuseum.org, and I can't wait for you guys to open up, and we'll get you back on the show. And Pat, thank you joining us this morning. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. KelchMuseum.org. Thank you.
Very good. KelchMuseum Aviation, or .org. Pat Whedon, our guest. You've been listening to The World of Aviation, sponsored by Academy College of Aviation in Bloomington and by Thunderbird Aviation, with locations at Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie and at the Crystal Airport. This is The World of Aviation.
Voiceover, zany sound effect.
We were going to write a flashy promo about streaming us at radio.com, but considering how easy it is to do, we'll keep it simple, too. Listen to The Patriot on the free radio.com app.
The Patriot Freedom Fan Club and New American Funding want to pay your mortgage next year. This is Tom Matiny from New American Funding, and I'm excited to be the sponsor of the Christmas Mortgage Miracle Contest. If you win, we'll pay your mortgage or rent for all of next year. That's extra money to take your family on vacation, put in a pool, or to help a friend in need. Enter once a day from now through December 20th at am1280thepatriot.com. The Christmas Mortgage Miracle from the Patriot Freedom Fan Club and me, Tom Matiny, at New American Funding.
AM 1280, The Patriot, and iHeartRadio. They go together like the U.S. and liberty. Listen at iHeart.com or with the free iHeartRadio mobile. AM 1280, The